This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Amen. My brothers and sisters in the resurrected and glorious Lord Jesus Christ, it's Easter morning. You are most likely sitting in your living room worshiping with your family. It's certainly one of the oddest moments of our lifetimes. I doubt any of us will forget the Easter that no one, almost anywhere in the world, was allowed to gather at church for worship. So how is your worship going this morning? Do you find it easier to focus on the word of your God in such a comfortable setting? Or are the aromas wafting in your direction from other parts of the house, say the kitchen, distracting you? Are you able to set aside the strangeness of this moment and focus on what Easter is really all about for a few moments? Or is the weight of all that is going on, and even what is not going on, too heavy for you to escape, even in this moment when the reasons for hallelujahs are so compelling? Well, the Apostle Paul has a particularly Easter-themed challenge for you this morning. We read this lesson every 3 years during Easter festival worship, but this morning, Easter morning amid the COVID crisis, it is more appropriate than ever to meditate for a few minutes on the first verses of Colossians chapter 3. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. In my childhood, my family always attended sunrise worship, enjoyed Easter breakfast at church, and then attended the early Easter festival worship service. This was always a big deal at our house because it was the only Sunday we ever tried to get to early service. It was the only Sunday because I had four older sisters and a younger brother, and really only one bathroom in the house in which we grew up. When I think of it now, I realize my mother's logistical planning abilities were astounding. I don't remember how early we got up, but I do remember every last thing possible being done the night before, and every element of morning preparation extremely choreographed so that every year we made it to sunrise service before the bells started ringing. That's remarkable. The reason I share that with you is how hard it was for me in those days to sit and wait to leave for church without getting into trouble, very specific trouble. You see, Easter morning was one of the few mornings of the year in my youth that you didn't have to wake me twice. The ceiling light directly above my top bunk bed was suddenly on, shining brilliantly in my face, and I was out of bed like I was shot out of a cannon. I was usually the first one all ready to go, sometimes long before everyone else. In fact, I was really only torturing myself because, you see, we were not allowed to search for our craftily hidden Easter baskets until we got home from church. Now, that's a problem for a little kid, a big problem. I can only wonder now how many times during two worship services, my thoughts turned away from the alleluias and the he is risens to where I might find my basket overflowing with chocolatey goodness as soon as I might appropriately start my search when we got home. Do you have such a search on your mind this morning in this moment? Are you a youngster now, like I was then, with a basket search or an Easter egg hunt at least a little bit on your mind in the moment? Perhaps you are the parent who has spent the extra time provided by this safer at home moment in history, and that has led you to go to great lengths to be creative in your hiding of baskets and eggs of goodies and gifts. A pending Easter morning search can be such a distraction for all of us from what is supposed to be our focus in this moment. And a distraction was exactly what so many of us have been looking for much of the last few weeks. So, the Apostle Paul offers you here in Colossians the truly best distraction ever. In his original words here in verse 1, Paul tells you to set your hearts on things above. And in verse 2, when he comes back with set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, he actually uses a word that means to hunt or to search for something. Paul is imploring us not to search for eggs or baskets or even answers to a worldwide crisis this Easter morning. In fact, his imperatives direct us away from all earthly things whatsoever. Paul pretty much commands us to search for the things that are yet to come in our experience, but things that are ours in the eternal future, because Christ has risen from the grave and now sits on the throne of heaven at the right hand of the Father. But let's not go so quickly to the search, the hunt, that we don't spend just a minute contemplating and marveling over the motivation Paul begins this section with. He begins, "Since then you have been raised with Christ." These words simply clearly speak of our conversion from unbelief to faith in Christ. By nature, every one of us was dead in our sinful rebellion and sin. We are now alive with Christ. We have been raised to life. Hearts that were once cold and dead are now fully alive and filled with intention to love our Savior God and meet the needs of our family, neighbors, and friends. Lives that without God's intervention would never have accomplished anything good are now all about pleasing our Creator. The way Paul assembles this statement of motivation is important. He uses a verb construction that tells us two things at the very same time. He tells us our being raised is an accomplished fact. Christian believers have been raised to new spiritual life. Yet at the same time, this construction is used to communicate a future event that is certain to happen. In other words, it is as good as done. We may be waiting for the full benefit of this resurrection in Christ, but it is certain. If God has already touched our spirits and souls and has made them alive through faith in Christ, we have proof positive that He will also be able to one day touch each one of our cold, dead bodies and make them alive again to live forever. And that's exactly why, no matter what we may be going through or what may be going on around us on Easter morning, we have reason to lift our sights and search, to set our hearts and minds on things above. You and I can lift our heads and hearts to think on and embrace things which are far, far beyond our sins and the sorrows of our broken world. In these words, through his apostle, our Savior God is taking us each by the hand and inviting us to come up higher. He doesn't want us grumbling and groveling, but rather to rise up in our thoughts, or as the Old Testament prophet so beautifully penned it, to soar on wings like eagles. We know all too well how the things below are going, whether that be in our personal lives and relationships or the worldwide challenge a pandemic has created. We don't have the specifics right here in these verses of the things above that claim to be such a contrast to our realities here below. But Paul already wrote about them in Philippians. Remember? Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. The contrast between the here and now and the things above is stark and invigorating. The things above are where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Jesus reigns over all things and possesses the power and the glory and the honor. He is the King of the universe, and yet he is the chosen one of God who chose to wear our humanity. By baptism into Christ, we too are chosen ones. We are encouraged here to fully contemplate what that means. We are in the company of the eternal King. Our Savior God has complete power over our depression, over our despair, even over our death. This knowledge alone is more than enough to lift our spirits in any moment of travail or temptation. And in setting the tone of our search, Paul tells us to set our hearts and set our minds on things above. This is no one-time encouragement. Paul makes it clear it is an ongoing pursuit. It is a daily imperative to keep on and keep on thinking on these lofty, current, and future spiritual realities. Easter, the resurrection, changes everything. Easter does not stop when the organ and the brass fade away at the end of the service. Easter Day does not end with a sunset. For believers who understand and embrace what Paul is writing here, Easter is something that keeps on going and keeps each of us going all year long. That's why we must also read on. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. You and I have already experienced death in Christ's death. We have died to the things of this world. We are corpses as far as the devil's power or ability to reach out for us for his evil, awful purposes. Jesus died. Every debt we owe to God is paid in full. You and I are dead to any threats made against us or any claims made upon us because of our sins. We were with Jesus in his death. He didn't deserve death. He was holy. He died our death for us. The payment for our sin has been exacted. God is eternally satisfied. As Paul asks us in his letter to the Romans, who is he that condemns us? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Then he asks, if God is for us, who can be against us? Paul tells us in these verses that's because we are hidden with Christ in God. We are tucked away in God's safekeeping with all of God's elect. The devil can't find us. We are hidden by God from the devil's view and beyond his reach. Again, that reminds us of a bold statement from Romans 8 that also speaks so triumphantly against the realities of our COVID moment. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, neither angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But we are not quite done yet making the case for why we should set our hearts and minds on things above. While the resurrection on Easter Day is a reason to search for things higher and better than anything we can know and experience here and now, the promise of our own resurrection in Christ makes our search for Easter truths even sweeter. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. On the earth's last day, when Jesus appears here in person in all of his glory, you and I will appear with him. If we are still living when that day dawns, He will draw us immediately to his side. If we have died before that day, he will awaken and call us from our graves by name. Christ is our life. Without Christ, all humanity is dead forever. With Christ, we are alive forever. Easter is something we testify to and proclaim this day and every day of our lives. But Easter is something every one of us will also witness. We have seen it in part in our being raised from the death of unbelief to trust and life reliant on Christ. But we will also experience a future Easter in the raising of every human body from death. In that glorious final resurrection, every believer's body will be glorified like Christ's resurrected body. We will see it. We will experience it. We will know in fullness what the ancient prophet of the resurrection, Job, saw so clearly when he proclaimed in faith, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another." What unspeakable glories will be ours when that final Easter dawns? Every unspeakable sorrow and challenge we have known and faced in this life will be gone, and every memory of it equally gone forever. When we set our hearts and minds on things above, we have ready access to encouraging thoughts of the glory that will be ours in perfect fullness, physically and spiritually, our eternal purpose known, our identity complete. We will be claimed by our Savior God as his very own children, his eternal heirs. We will be welcome to reign with him and share fully in the spoils of his resurrection victory. With this to look forward to, Christian, you have every reason to look up, to get on with life in any moment, and run the rest of your race on this earth with joy. There are moments of searching yet ahead for all of us. Maybe that includes some treat-filled eggs, a basket, a gift or two. Maybe that search in the days ahead is a new job, a new treatment for a recurring ailment, or a new relationship that will make your life whole again. The hunts, the searches of life so often can come to be a distraction from living the Easter victory we already have in Christ. I pray that for a little while this morning, in the lessons read, in the hymns sung, in the prayers offered, you have found an oasis of solace from a world that is always in crisis to some degree or another. I also pray that you have found here in this Easter festival lesson from the letter to the Colossians wise advice from a man who lived a very hard life, a life that led to a martyr's death. He points you to the role that daily thoughts of Easter play in keeping what is yet to come in its proper, joyful perspective. I pray that you will continue to set your hearts and your minds on things above, because our sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen.